Hello, everyone, and welcome to Not Quite Hollywood, episode 68. I'm Jamie.
I'm Alex.
I'm Ben.
I'm Dakota.
Ben and Dakota are back.
Yay, we're Woo! Back.
So, this is a podcast where we talk about film. Every odd episode, we talk about movies, bring them to the table, each have our own. And every even number, we discuss a little topic here and there.
And just a little topic, a little bit.
Just a little topic. Nothing special. But we have Ben and Dakota here because we are all very nerdy, and we have a lot to talk about today. Before we get into that, subscribe to us on iTunes, Not Quite Hollywood. We're on Facebook at Not Quite Hollywood. Pretty simple. Twitter, though, NQHPod. And if you have any suggestions for movies or topics, please email us for the love of Christ. We're at notquitepod@gmail.com.
I am giving away, I'll do this at the top of the show because nobody emails
us. All right, do it.
I'm giving away a digital copy of Star Wars The Force Awakens. So if you email us and you say, I want it, I will give it to you.
It's a very timely giveaway. In anticipation for The Last Jedi. Let's put it that way. But yeah, so we are very nerdy. We want to talk about some Comic-Con and D23 stuff, but that is Alex's topic. So please take it away.
So D23, we'll do that first because D23 was first. D23, they released the Incredibles 2...
Concept art?
Yeah, concept art. And they said that it takes place immediately after the first one.
Good.
Which is kind of cool. So we don't have to go through all of the, oh, look, Dash and Violet are grown up now and stuff.
I kind of wanted that, though.
Yeah, I mean, they could do that later, but I feel like they really set up a good sequel in the first one.
I agree.
So, yeah.
I agree completely.
And you thought it was going to be, you know, a couple of years maybe?
Yeah, no, it's next year.
No, but you thought it'd be a couple of years from 2004.
Yeah.
And it was not.
Yep.
It's only 14 years later.
Yeah. Wouldn't that have been awful if it was like real time?
Yeah, not me.
Wouldn't that have been awful if it was like real time?
I mean, all the kids would have moved out, been their own superheroes. Jack would have been like an angsty teenager by now.
Yeah,
cool.
That would have been really great.
That'd have been kind of cool. Saying.
But then like Mrs. Incredible would have been really lame then, though.
Mr. What? Incredible?
Yeah. No, he would have been like, what, like 60, 70? Well,
I feel like he wouldn't age the way other people age, though, because of his powers.
That's true.
Maybe he would start experiencing old age. Because he's a little delayed.
There's your Incredibles 3 concept right there.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
Pay attention, Disney.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, you can just keep doing Incredibles every 2 years. We'd be all right.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Completely okay with that.
It's a Fantastic Four we never got.
Yeah.
Yeah, the best Fantastic Four movie so far. Everybody said that is true.
And then they cast Hugh Jackman as Scar, I saw.
They did.
Which is really interesting.
That's really cool. Didn't they say a few weeks ago that they had trouble casting Aladdin, and then all of a sudden they were like,
yeah, all of a sudden they had Aladdin out of nowhere.
It's almost like it was either a ploy to get more people to audition, but it seems like they just went back through their auditioning and found somebody. Because these guys, these two people are not unknowns. The lead female was in Power Rangers. I don't know her name.
Naomi Scott.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the other guy's only been in like some short films here and there.
Yeah.
But I can totally see that. They were just like, well, we want to cast somebody. Well, D23 is coming up, so the clock's ticking. Oh, okay. Well, let's find somebody. I mean, because it's... They don't make an announcement at their own con.
Yeah, that's true. It's kind of embarrassing.
Yeah, that would be pretty embarrassing.
And then I think some of the biggest stuff from there, they did a preview of Star Wars Land. They had was it a model or?
Yeah, it was like a little video clip, and then they had like set and like interior setup, like a little tiny display for what it will look like. So
cool. I'm super excited for that.
I didn't see that. I think I saw like an image of concept art.
Yeah,
I think I saw that.
That's all I saw.
I didn't see the.
There's like a little video of like you go down and there's like the TIE fighter like right next to you, like life size, and then the Millennium Falcon and stuff. And they also had that. I was kind of disappointed. They were like, here's a featurette of Star Wars, but like no.
That was a great behind the scenes.
Yeah,
feature.
It was really great.
It was really good.
Yeah,
it was awesome. But I was looking for like a trailer, like you know.
No, that's gonna come.
The thing was, Kathleen Kennedy did say that she was trying to announce a new standalone Star Wars film by the end of June. It's the end of July, and that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, you mean the third one?
Well, yeah, and then we were also supposed to get a Han Solo trailer, but obviously due to circumstances,
that's not going to happen. No.
So,
that probably won't happen until The Last Jedi comes out.
they probably, so I think they showed what they already have.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. And yeah. Then I think the bigger thing that happened was they showed, the first time they showed the Infinity War footage was the D23. And everyone freaked out at that.
They also showed Lion King footage, too.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, they showed Lion King footage. They showed the opening of the movie, like Pride Rock, Circle of Life.
Wow.
Does it look similar to The Jungle Book terms of CGI?
They said it's better.
Really?
Nice. Yeah, holy fuck. They said it's better, and they said it's like emotional.
Wow.
Wow. Like,
cool.
Yeah, because I just watched The Jungle Book, and I was not a fan, the new one.
I loved it. Yeah. That was pretty good. Yeah. It wasn't like one for one. Like, I mean, think Beauty and the Beast was more like that, I've heard.
It looked good. It had some
additional stuff, but...
But I thought, like, they feel like they changed a lot. Like,
I loved Christopher Walken, though, as a...
Yeah, that was probably my favorite thing from The Jungle Book. Like, the new version was Christopher Walken.
They only had, like, two songs from the movie, too, which was, I think, was enough.
Yeah.
But I also thought those songs, they kind of just, it wasn't like a big number. It was just kind of like...
No, it wasn't meant to be.
Singing and...
I liked it that way.
Yeah, it felt more natural.
It was different enough where it wasn't like, oh, they're just rehashing Jungle Book. Which I hope they do that with a lot of their films. Like, Aladdin will probably fit more with the theme of musical, whole new world and all that shit. But, and I'm kind of excited about that, except for Will Smith.
No, you're not excited for Will Smith?
No, I'm
not. I'm excited for Will. And they gotta make it different.
I don't mind making it different. It just, I don't think he fits
that. Is Genie gonna be drawn exactly like Genie from the animated movie?
No, it'll be some weird mix of CGI and actual Will Smith body. Yeah.
It'll be like the Hulk.
I hope. Is that, that just like, it's just like Shaq as Shazam.
Yeah.
Kazam.
Yeah.
Kazam.
Now,
can you imagine that feature? We used the technology from this movie that came out 15 years ago to create the genie.
Yeah, just make Shaq the genie.
21 years ago.
Yeah. But you know, that'd Disney, dope, Disney could do it, and the fans would just be like, okay, yeah, that's great.
God, some fans. I wouldn't.
Yeah.
So here's what I posit to you guys. Had he not committed suicide, Robin Williams would have been back. 100%.
Yeah, because James Earl Jones is back for Mufasa.
Well, I mean, that's mostly voice, so I mean, I don't think he's going to do motion
capture.
Well,
Robin Williams would have been mostly voice had he...
For sure.
Had he been around to...
No, I'm sure. I'm absolutely. Sure.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No?
No, I think they're trying to just do something different.
Yeah.
That's what they've been doing with all their live-action adaptations.
Mm.
They add new things here and there, so we'll see what happens. I'm the only thing I'm curious about is what they're going to do effects-wise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's right on par. It's not as advanced as, like, a Jungle Book or a Lion King, but, you know, there's some intricate scenes in there that...
Yeah.
Once you see it, you could just be like, okay, that's clearly CGI.
I would tell you one thing, though. I'm super excited to see a live-action version of that cave escape.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That back then was so breathtaking, how it was animated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just seeing it in CGI would be kind of cool, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought D23 was, like, a bigger deal this year than it has been in the past. Like, they had actually released stuff to the public, and I feel like usually it's, like, a really hush-hush kind of thing.
Yeah, for at least, like, a week following the event, and then things will start to be released online.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like this year it was a lot more streamlined for, like, everybody, not just people who were there.
Yeah. So. And what were you saying about Wreck-It Ralph?
Oh, Wreck-It Ralph had one of the coolest scenes I've ever heard of. So, Wreck-It Ralph Breaks the Internet is the name of the film.
Yeah.
And him and Penelope have to... They're trying to fix her game or something like that. They end up at OhMyDisney.com. And it's an official fan site of Disney. And Penelope and Wreck-It Ralph meet every Disney princess ever. And they have like a slumber party. And they got all the voice actresses that are still alive to do the voices, including one who did Belle, which it's crazy she's still alive, but yeah. And so they have even Moana is like the newest one, and they have them all like in the slumber party, and they're making like these really great inside jokes, like what's with Meredith's Scottish accent? Oh, she's from the other studio. You know, it's just like shit like that. It's actually pretty cool. Like, it looks like it's going to do a lot of fan service to the Disney franchises.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for that.
That's really cool.
And I love Wreck-It Ralph. It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
I still have not seen it.
Yeah, me either.
Oh my God, you guys gotta watch it. It really, it's really good. It like that year, Brave and Wreck-It Ralph came out. Brave was Pixar, Wreck-It Ralph was Disney. They should have flopped. Brave felt more like a Disney film in terms of story than Wreck-It Ralph felt more like a Pixar film.
I still have not seen Brave.
But you know, you brought up Star Wars earlier in the trailer that wasn't released. they're going to have to release it on its own. Because, you know, they usually do two. I mean, I don't know if Star Wars Force Awakens had three before. Because they were so secretive about it. They must have had three. They had that weirdly...
They had the two short ones and teaser. Then the long one.
Right? The first one's that vague teaser with, like, John
Boyega coming out. They dropped the trailer in 2013.
The second one was Han Solo at the end.
They dropped the trailer in November, and then they dropped the trailer at Celebration, and then they dropped the trailer during Monday Night Football.
So that's fucked up.
And I think they're going to do it again this year at Monday Night Football.
Well, yeah, they're going to have to.
And see, the format of the Last Jedi trailer was the same format as the first teaser for Force Awakens. Like, if you watch them side by side, it's the exact same thing.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if they're going to do a teaser and another trailer for The Last Jedi.
Well, based on that timeline, it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, no.
And so they're going to have to release a teaser on their own because they don't really... I was just checking. They don't really have a big film from now until Thor.
Yeah.
And by Thor's time, you should have at least a second trailer, almost a third trailer ready to go.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll get three trailers for this.
I don't think so either.
I think we'll just get one more big trailer, and then the rest is going to be TV spots.
Like small incremental footage.
Wants to use their ESPN contract.
Sure.
That makes sense as much as possible.
Well, they're in bed together.
And a lot of times they'll say, hey, we're going to show something on Good Morning America tomorrow, and it'll be...
I think that's a big possibility, too.
Yeah.
Like either ESPN or Good Morning America.
Yeah.
Hell, even online nowadays, you can just say, here's a teaser for the trailer coming tomorrow.
Well, they use that's insane.
I think that's what they'll do. Yeah. For, like, a teaser, I think we'll get that.
I was all excited a few months ago. They were like, big Star Wars announcement on Good Morning America, and I recorded it and everything. I went down to watch it, and it was, like, Force for Change thing. I was like, are you serious? Are you serious? I was so excited.
Yeah, help people. Come on. It's a big deal.
I am super excited, not only for the movie... But just imagine all the trailers in front of Thor this fall.
Yeah.
Oh.
So you got Star Wars, you got Black Panther, Infinity War, at least.
Hopefully.
Well, I mean, they'll have Infinity War, the one they've been showing.
I think they'll do Infinity War. I don't think they'll do a Black Panther. Well, when does that come out?
It's out February.
It's out February?
Yeah. They already have one.
I think they'll save it for Last Jedi.
No, it'll be out there. At least the second one will be out.
I think they got to do Marvel.
Yeah, of course.
I don't think they're going to show all three trailers during the same movie, though.
Why wouldn't they?
That's true. They might save Infinity War for Star Wars.
If anything.
I mean, it'll be there, too. I'm not saying the initial viewing. I'm saying they'll be there in front of them. They'll probably have already premiered by then. I think Avengers probably will debut with a Thor release. But I think the other two, Black Panther, the second trailer, will have already been out by then. And then Star Wars, at least one or two will have already been out.
Yeah, I think that's more reasonable.
That's what I meant. I didn't mean they're all going to show up
No.
That's too much of a nerdgasm. That'd be great. Well, yeah, I mean, it'd be great, but...
This is a great transition into Comic-Con, actually. They released the new Thor trailer.
Did you guys see this?
I watched it, like, five times, dude. I loved this trailer.
I know it was a dumb question. Like, oh, Dakota, why are you wearing your AMC stuff? Are you going to work?
I think this Thor trailer, is better than the Infinity War trailer.
Which you watched too, right?
Which leaked, right?
Yeah, I watched.
We all watched it.
Yeah. So
shout out to that guy's fat head.
Yeah, right. Thanks, dude. Yeah. Duck down, man.
Duck down.
Down in front, dude.
My biggest takeaway from that Marvel panel was probably Thor and the information we got, because Hulk has been Hulk for 2 years. He hasn't been Banner. So he's talking like a two-year-old.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that.
And if you hear they're forming a team, and he says, like, the old days, which the old days makes you wonder, like, is it 10 years still?
No, the
like,
timeline's all different now. Okay. Spider-Man retconned everything. Yeah.
Okay.
The first phase took place in about a year and a half now, based on what they said, instead of the 5 years or 4 years it took to get to Avengers. So Avengers took place 2010. And Homecoming essentially takes place 2018.
Okay. So that's like 8 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really fucked up.
And then...
But at the beginning of Homecoming...
That's why they said 8 years. Because they retcon everything time-wise.
Okay.
Oh my god.
Yeah, because it was going to be year after year. You know, Avengers was 2012 and it changed everything.
As you can tell, we're huge nerds and overanalyzing.
It's crazy. I got really mad when I saw that. I was like, bullshit, 8 years.
Yeah, there's no way this has been 8 years. Like. No.
That was kind of cool that Hulk talked. I'm just, okay.
Surtr. Oh my god.
Did you see who they cast as Surtr too?
No.
It's Clancy
Brown?
Yeah. Yeah, Clancy Brown is Surtr, dude.
You mean Mr. Krabs.
Yeah.
Is Surtur.
Mr. Krabs is Surtur, dude.
He has a really great voice. He's a fucking great...
I know who Mr. Krabs is, Clancy but I don't Brown. Know who
he's the actor character voice. Is. Surtur is the big demon he fight, Hulk's yeah, like the big fighting fire at the end. Demon.
Okay.
Yeah, that's he's a Krabs. So. Yeah, yeah. He's a big-ass character.
So the Hulk is essentially Plankton, then.
Pretty much. He's a little green fucker compared to him, yeah.
So my my biggest takeaway from Marvel panel was that Captain Marvel comes before Iron Man.
It makes a lot of sense.
I thought that was really cool. And they're going to do a 90s thing, and they're going to have Samuel Jackson with two eyes, so they're going to show him like before he lost his eye.
Wow.
I think that's really, really cool. Korean
Scroll War, too.
When Alex first told me this, I was really pissed. I'm like, why are they doing that? I was like, maybe they have to do that because of Infinity War. She'll be in there, and they have to retcon her already having powers. That's fine. But then I was like, when I heard the Kree-Skrull War, holy fuck. Like, that makes so much more sense, because where are the Skrulls now?
Exactly.
The Kree fucking probably wiped them out. Because the Kree have been a part of everything since, I mean, obviously, Inhumans were based out of the Kree technology, and then the Terra Genesis in the show, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and stuff.
This means nothing to me.
I know.
one, I'd have to say my biggest takeaway, not to get off topic, but my biggest takeaway from Comic-Con was probably it.
Oh, wow. And I'm surprised.
Oh, really?
You're such a big DC fan. I'm surprised.
Yeah. Oh, well, I think DC was kind of... We knew what we were getting.
Yeah.
I think we thought we knew what we were getting, and then it was like we got less.
I think you and Ben could talk about that, but I want to kind of focus on it right now.
Okay,
sure.
They did their whole Scare Diego thing on Wednesday, and then they had it, and they had the whole cast and the director, and then they showed Annabelle. And Annabelle, if I'm not mistaken, comes out in August. Annabelle
Creation. August 11th.
Yep.
Yeah. So the fact that they're showing it like 2 weeks early, and people even saw it like a few weeks back, and people were saying it's good. I mean, it's pretty good because the director for that, David F. Sandberg, was also announced to direct Shazam as well.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah. So.
And you met him, right?
I met him. I see him a lot.
He's like two for two right now.
I go to. Yeah. He's really good.
He's two for two right now. So, and then. But they showed two clips from it, and then they showed a trailer that comes out sometime this week. And the two clips, one was like a scene of them just hanging out in the lake, and Beverly's like a badass. And, you know, Ben's looking through like the dairy files. So, I mean, shit's going down, but you don't know, it's like more of their friendship. And then like coming to a bond. And then the second clip is the infamous rock scene. And apparently there's, like, since it's in the 80s, there's, like, Anthrax playing. And, like, Henry Bowers is, like, brutal, like, carving his initials into one of the kids. But apparently as, like, the rock battle's going on, you see it in the background. And I guess he's feeding.
Oh, I know what you're talking about now.
He's feeding off of this. And, like, you see him just, like, waving. But apparently he's waving with, like, an infant's baby arm.
Huh.
And he's, like, eating it. And then that just descends into the trailer, and apparently you hear him speak in the trailer, and it has a lot to do with Georgie and Bill, and then the end of the trailer...
Hiya, Georgie.
Yeah. And then the end of the trailer, all I'll say is apparently you see clowns, doll clowns in a big room, and that's all, so...
And now I really want to see this trailer, man.
We'll see. It comes out sometime this week, but apparently everybody was saying that, you know...
Yeah.
Apparently it's really good, and that's what I'm excited for, because not only is Andy Muschietti, I think, a good director with Mama and it coming out, but the fact that, you know, everybody's just so into this movie is really getting me hyped. Yeah, getting me hyped.
He just signed on for another movie, didn't he? A big movie?
Yes, he did. He's
Shadow of the Colossus. So DC, let's talk about DC really quick, because I think they may have been lackluster to Alex, but I think they just had to do this and reaffirm what they were doing. That their plan's still there. The Flash is still coming. Aquaman's still coming. They're already working on Aquaman.
Well, the reason they had to do that is because, like, 2 days before, the big news broke that Ben Affleck was going to be out as Batman. Like,
but then he said that was full shit. Yeah.
He didn't really say that. He was like, I've had fun playing. He didn't say, I'm still going to do it. He said, I've had fun and I would like to still do it, but he didn't say I am.
Yeah, I think
no, he's still signed up for the
Matt Reeves film. He still said something definitive, like I'm still contracted under Warner.
I would be a pig or something. For Matt Reeves.
You see, and when he says that, I feel like that's when like the BS kind of starts. Like, sure. I feel like, you know, he's true when he says, you know, I'm contracted to do Batman. He has to do the Batman.
Yeah.
But after that, I mean, I think it's still kind of up in the air because as much as I would love him to still be Batman, you can kind of see the BS on his face.
Yeah, I get you.
It's like, I would be an ape in a Matt Reeves movie. I mean, that's the biggest thing that's talked about right now is Planet of the Apes.
Do you think they're going to change Batman with Flashpoint?
They could.
See, they could. That's kind of the point that I would make is the announcement of the Ben Affleck departure came right on the heels of The Flash is going to be the Flashpoint movie. So what that could be is like a miscommunication between like, well, now we have Jeffrey Dean Morgan who could be Thomas Wayne Batman.
I don't think that'll happen.
I think that it needs to happen.
Is he from he's Watchmen?
He's a comedian in Watchmen.
He's Negan too.
Yeah. And then he's Negan in The Walking Dead.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
But that version of Batman is like darker, grittier, uses guns. Like Martha Wayne is the Joker.
Yeah.
Check out the Flashpoint Paradox if you haven't.
So, I was going to bring it up, but I didn't think about Jeffrey Dean Morgan, which is a great Thomas Wayne.
Yeah.
Because didn't he play him in the...
He was Thomas Wayne in Batman vs. Superman. Yeah, okay. Same with, what's her name?
Lauren Cohen.
Lauren Cohen from The Walking Dead is Martha Wayne.
Oh, cool.
So she would come back as the Joker.
See, I was if you had to recast him, I'd like to see Jon Hamm.
Yes.
He's a really good man.
Or Armie Hammer.
Armie's too young, though. For this kind of Batman, this Batman...
If they're going to recast Batman, I think they're going to do maybe a younger Batman.
So there's
if they're gonna do a younger Batman, they should just do Batman Beyond. Like they have Ben Affleck retire and become old man Bruce and then he wouldn't want to do it. McGinnis come in.
What do you think, Dakota? I mean, I know you have to take off.
There's only two big takeaways from DC's slate they announced and their Justice League trailer. You know, we don't get a Man of Steel 2. And that was like also their first.
Is that not happening?
It wasn't announced. It wasn't on the slate they announced either. You know, the slate that they announced, it started off with Batgirl. And then we got Suicide Squad 2. And then, you know.
Shazam.
Shazam and then Batgirl and Suicide Squad 2.
They announced Gotham City Sirens in this little panel? That's interesting.
No. They announced the Green Lantern Corps and Justice League Dark. But. It's pretty much all you, and then that's pretty much all you get, and then the announcement that The Rock isn't going to be in Shazam.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
That's also a big question.
Huh.
There's an interesting rumor that it could be Joe Manganiello since he's not playing Deathstroke anymore.
But he's not, though? They changed it?
Yeah, Deathstroke's not even going to be in the film. Oh, that sucks. Reeves is like starting from scratch.
Well, I mean, maybe he could still keep the character.
There were rumors that the three villains that were eyed for the new Batman were Joker, Scarecrow, and I think Deathstroke still. That'd be cool. But I also think the tease at the end of the Justice League trailer. Is it Superman? Is it Green Lantern?
Yeah.
So, lanterns were invoked in the Steppenwolf monologue.
Yes. They were. That was the best thing.
But we will see it.
But if you look at the footage, it looks like there's a red cape. It looks like there's a red cape.
But there is a flash of green underneath the plane.
I think that's just a green
light. Oh, yeah, I saw that too, yeah.
Time will surely tell.
But the original thing was Unite the Seven, and there was never a mention of it.
Again, they changed it to Unite the League.
I don't
quietly changed.
I will say I'm disappointed in Steppenwolf. I'd rather have Doomsday now.
Darkseid, you mean?
No, Doomsday.
Oh, Doomsday.
Doomsday would have been better now with the Justice League because he's that powerful.
That's true.
In the Death of Superman run, he wiped out the Justice League easily. Yeah. And then it took Superman like his last breath. Well, until you find out
they had to kill each other.
Yeah.
They killed each other. Well, yeah. And it's kind of how it happened, but at the same time, like not really in Dawn of Justice because, you know, like you said, there's no league.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. To quickly wrap up the rest of Comic-Con, I think the other big things, they had a Blade Runner experience that seemed pretty cool.
Really?
Yeah, it was like a VR thing.
Very cool.
You would like... You're in a cop car and it crashed, and then they lift the VR glasses up, and you were like, the cop car was actually there, and you could go check it out. They had the new Kingsman trailer, was really cool.
Yeah, it was great.
My favorite thing was the new Stranger Things trailer, which I won't go into because Jamie hasn't seen the season one. But if you haven't checked that out, definitely go watch that.
I'm giving Jamie a look of horror right now because he hasn't. Season one of Stranger Things.
I don't have a lot of time for TV. I watched the first episode recently. pretty good.
Yeah.
You gonna watch the rest
of it? Yeah, it's really good, man.
Yeah. I've been lucky not to get spoiled so far.
Yeah.
Well, but as soon as this post, I probably should watch it before that.
Yeah. So yeah, no, you probably it. Should.
That would be the one thing. Irony is the first person that emails us, this happens in Stranger Things, you fuck.
If you do that, you will for sure win The Force Awakens.
Yeah, I feel like.
I mean, I guess I gotta give you props if you actually follow through with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing that was released at Comic-Con D23 was the new Will Smith movie for Netflix, Bright.
Oh, yeah, right. Max Landis wrote that.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting.
It's a cool, like, mishmash
of things. It was like half buddy cop, like, comedy, other half really cool murder mystery thriller. Thought it was a good utilization of what Will Smith can do, like, as a whole. He has some really great, like, comedic moments, and then, yeah, I can tell, like, I'm the only one that's kind of into this.
Oh, no, it looks interesting. No. But hashtag not my genie.
Okay.
I like that.
Well.
Let's make that a thing, people.
Take to Twitter, everybody.
I like that one.
Yeah.
All right. We got to move on.
Yeah.
So I want to play a game for my topic. And I've always liked the game. Alex's Jason and Deb's IMDb game. Ripped straight out of Doug Loves Movies. It's a fun game to play. So what I'll do, very simply for you audience at home, you can play along. We're going to go first to 5 points, and I'll explain why. So what I would do is I'll say a name of a title. And this, so IMDb has four titles that are known for. So if I said, for example, Bruce Willis, it'll probably say like Sixth Sense or something is his first title. Well, let's say it was Die Hard. It could either have been, you know, Alan Rickman. It could be Bruce Willis. You can bid right there, say your name, Alex or Ben, and try to guess who I'm talking about. If you get that right, you get to guess the rest of his known for, and each one's worth an additional point. So it can quickly get to 5 in 2 rounds. But also, there's another thing, too. If you get the first name wrong, or if you get the name of the person wrong, let's say you do say Alan Rickman and I was thinking Bruce Willis, you lose a point and you can't guess until the next round, next actor.
Yeah.
So sometimes TV comes up, too. So it's sometimes if they're known for a TV show, it's worth a shot trying to guess it. It's probably there.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'll do is I'll look up some people on IMDb.
Okay.
And whoever thinks they... I mean, you can wait until the second title, then you can confirm who you think it is if you want to be more reserved. That way you have a chance to get a couple extra bonus points. All right, this person's known for begins with the TV show Friends.
I know. We were just talking about
this. David Schwimmer?
You got to say your own name to guess if you want to guess.
Ben David Schwimmer?
Wrong.
Okay.
Do you want to guess? Or do you want to go another title?
We're just talking about this person.
Do you want to go another title? Do you want to guess?
Alex Jennifer Aniston.
That's right. Okay. So what would be her other three top known fours? For extra points.
Does that have to be in order?
No. Any order is fine.
I think one is Horrible Bosses.
Okay.
Is that right?
I'm not going to tell you until you're done.
That one with Vince Vaughn where she showed her butt.
Oh, yeah. That one. Yep.
What was that called?
You gotta name it. We can't help you. Ben's not gonna help you.
Yeah, no.
You're going against him.
Maybe the one with Gerard Butler. Can I remember the name of these movies though?
You gotta give me names. So your only guess is Horrible Bosses?
Yeah.
You don't want to do anymore?
I think that's it.
All right. Well, sorry, none of those are correct.
No?
Not the one where she showed her butt either.
Okay.
Oh.
So the number two was We're the Millers.
Oh, okay.
Three was The Iron Giant, because she was the mother.
That's right.
Mother.
She was.
And four is Office Space.
Oh, wow.
Which we'll talk about later. The one
you just watched.
Okay. In 52 Pickup.
Okay.
All right.
I'm kind of surprised she's We're the Millers and not Horrible Bosses. Like,
no, We're the Millers was pretty successful.
Made a lot of money.
Yeah, it was.
So the algorithm is really interesting because it's based on money, it's based on international success, a lot of animated movies come through.
And the star meter, too?
Probably.
The popularity.
But then also there's another wrinkle where a person can go in and edit their own IMDb if you have Pro, and I've done it for mine. So it is a thing you can do.
Okay.
So as we know, Alex has 1 point, Ben has -1, but it's anybody's game. This person's IMDb is known for begins with This Is the End.
Oh, that could be anybody.
Exactly. So you want to be careful.
I think it's not. I don't think it's one of the bigger people because I feel like they would have something else first.
Ben.
Anybody names their name first, he rings in. If you want to wait, I can do another title.
I'll go for it. Ben Craig T. Robinson?
Incorrect. Damn. All right, so the next title is Pineapple Express. Doesn't really narrow it down that much.
Yeah, Alex. Not at all.
Alex?
Seth Rogen.
Yep.
Damn.
Seth Rogen.
So
okay, that, so you got two more to guess.
So then after that, it's Sausage Party.
Okay, and?
And Superbad.
So the two were there were The Interview and Superbad.
Okay.
Superbad. So I was going to say The Interview.
Yeah. So Alex is up to three.
I'm at -2, yo.
I'm surprised that Sausage Party isn't on there, because didn't he write that too?
Yeah. All right, here we go. I'm going to do a little harder.
Okay.
And Ben, I would recommend waiting if you don't. Oh, this is going to be really hard. This is going to be really fucking hard. Okay. Not really, but.
I like to guess, though. I like.
Is this like a household name, though?
Oh, no, yes. Yes, it is.
Okay.
But, again, it's one of those movies that have a lot of people in it.
Yeah.
And I would advise caution, that's all. First known for this person is The Lion King, 1994. Wanna wait till the next name?
Sure, yeah.
I'll be listening very closely who says their name first. Star Wars, Return of the Jedi.
James Earl Jones.
You gotta say your name first.
Ben Alex. James Earl Jones.
Ben. All right. Got a point for Ben. All right, so what were... This is going to be hard. What were his other two top four known for?
I'm obviously going to say Star Wars.
Which one?
Let me think. Return of the Jedi.
I already said it.
That was two. You had already said two. It. Okay, so... A New Hope.
Okay.
And... I cannot think of anything else that he did, unfortunately.
I know I can't.
James, if you're listening, I'm so sorry.
I know I can't guess, but can I throw in what I think?
What?
I think it's Empire Strikes Back and... Hold on, the baseball one. Field of Dreams.
Well, you're both wrong. It's Doctor Strangelove and Conan the Barbarian.
Wow.
I didn't even... Yeah.
I'm surprised.
I know. So you're at -1 now.
He must have edited that.
Again, those are pretty iconic films, yeah, and that sometimes lends into it, but Conan's not that much. I don't know.
I feel like Field of Dreams is like a big one for him.
All right, here we go. This should be a quick one. Back to the Future.
Alex, Michael J. Fox?
Incorrect. So you're at, what, 1 point now?
Yeah.
Okay. So you can wait, or you can go ahead and guess.
I'm going to wait.
Process of Elimination? No? Nothing? All right. So the second film is Back to the Future Part 2.
Oh, damn. I'm having trouble remembering his name right now.
Uh-oh.
That's why I'm stalling.
Man.
Alex is like, fuck.
Am I allowed to guess or
no? Nope. You're out for this round.
Thought, yeah.
That's why you're like, fuck.
Yeah, this is going to be really bad when I throw this one, because I can't remember an actor's name.
I can keep going.
Yeah, keep going.
The third film is Back to the Future Part 3.
God.
And even if I say the fourth title, you can still get 1 point if you can just remember his name.
Ben, I know his last name is Lloyd, I think. Yeah, no, you're looking at me with such disbelief.
I mean, he's one of my favorite actors, but, you know.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I'm just going to throw it out there. Christopher Lloyd?
Got it.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay, so you have one more movie to guess. So you already said Back to the Future 1, 2, and 3.
Okay.
What else has he been on?
Dude, I don't know.
Okay, Who Framed Roger Rabbit was on his fourth.
Okay.
But now you're at 0, and Alex is at 1, so still anybody's game. So this person's known for, his first known for begins with The Godfather. I highly suggest waiting. There's a lot of people in The Godfather.
Mm-hmm.
Second film, though, is Scarface.
And, like, is it that obvious?
Should I go to the next movie?
Do it.
Heat. For the record, you should have buzzed in, like, a name ago.
Alex Al Pacino?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, of course. And what would be his last known for another bonus point?
Is it Dog Day Afternoon?
No. Good guess, though. I would have put that up there. It's actually Godfather Part 2.
Okay.
But that's fine. I mean, I don't like Heat as much as most. I mean, it was all right. It was really fucking long.
I need to see this stuff.
All right, so now you're at 2 again.
Yeah.
He's at 2. I'm at 0.
0. Okay. All right. Let's go rapid fire. This person's first movie doesn't make any sense to me. Grown Ups 2.
Ben. Rob Schneider.
Incorrect.
Alex Adam Sandler.
That's correct.
I felt like that was fair.
I mean, I don't think he's even in that one.
I was looking at his IMDb a few months ago, and I was like, why is it Grown Ups 2?
It's pretty fucked up. So, that's his first movie. Can you guess the last three movies?
Okay. One of them is...
This would win it, by the way, if you get two one, more.
One of them is Click.
Okay.
One of them is...
I don't have a lot of faith in your ability to do this anymore.
Well, okay, to be fair, the first one was...
Grown Ups 2. Yeah, I get that. But they're not going to put all the shit in there.
I didn't mind Click.
Click was good.
No, it was so stupid to sad.
It was okay. It was better than Pixels.
Yeah, well, I mean, most things are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Happy Gilmore.
Okay. So you said Click and Happy Gilmore. And you got one more.
It's the one where he's dumb and he has to, like...
Oh, that one. Yeah, the movie. Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
Oh, I know exactly which one you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where, like, she strips for him when he gets the answers right.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Or no, is it The Waterboy?
Oh, no, it's not.
No.
So, Happy Gilmore was one, so you're at 4. Big Daddy and Grown Ups 1.
I was going to say Big Daddy, but I was like, nah.
I know. You said Click.
So odd, man.
All right. Alex has 4, and you're at -1.
Yay.
Okay. This person's IMDb, known for, begins with the 1999 The Mummy.
Alex. Brendan Fraser.
That's correct. Alex wins the game.
Can I guess the other one?
Sure, go for it.
Is it The Mummy Returns? Is that what it's called?
That's the name of the second one.
Okay. Yeah. The Mummy Returns, Airheads.
Okay.
And Journey to the Jungle.
The Mummy Returns was there, but then they went with Journey to the Center of the Earth.
Oh, okay.
And The Mummy, The Tomb of the Dragon Emperor.
I was going to say Tomb of the Dragon Emperor.
I wasn't sure if he was in that one.
Very odd conclusion to a unnecessary trilogy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the game.
Okay.
It was a fun game.
It's a good game. I like it.
Yeah.
All right, let's go. Let's go one more for the fun of it. All right, so this one, they're known for, begins with Police Academy.
Next.
The second one is Police Academy 2, Their First Assignment.
Gosh. That's a great title, though.
It's pretty good.
What's it? Don't tell me the third one's Police Academy 3.
I don't know. You tell me. Can you get the name?
What's the next one?
Short Circuit.
I have no idea.
That's sad. You should watch those. That's a pretty good movie. First one.
Yeah. I've been meaning to, yeah.
And the last movie is Police Academy 3, Back in Training. It's Steve Guttenberg.
See?
The lead.
I don't even know who that is.
Oh, he was in Zeus and Roxanne, the Short Circuit film. He not much else. he was actually in Ballers. I didn't know that.
He's in Ballers.
That's Wayne Hastings Jr.
Wow.
I never watched the show.
Makes me want to check it out, though.
I'm so out of the loop. I thought Leslie Nielsen was in Police Academy.
Yeah, I was.
No, he's in Police Files.
Okay.
Oh, Police Squad.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the one my dad watches. Yeah. Yes, I thought you were watching. Yeah. Okay, Leslie Nielsen, I haven't seen Police Academy.
The reason I brought up Steve Guttenberg is because that is my first 52 pickup this week. I watched 2 to catch up. Somehow, inexplicably, even if we talked about a film every week of recording here, I was short 1 week. I don't know what happened. Maybe it'll correct itself, but anyway, I did want 2 this week. And Police Academy is my first one. So you've never seen this.
Are you okay? I guess not. I thought that was the same as the other one. But no, I've never seen Police Academy, okay. Apparently.
They're pretty... like they're like in the vein of Stripes and Meatballs and like Caddyshack. They're like these 80s somewhat raunchy comedy. I mean, honestly, Police Academy is tame compared to those films. But Police Academy was this whirlwind of a franchise that did one a year for 6 straight years. And then they did one like years later after that. But it's about these delinquents that go to a police academy once the mayor of the city... release this thing. Oh, we won't have more police recruits because the crime is so bad. We need more police force. So they get all these like terrible people, and Steve Guttenberg's actually always in trouble, but he knows the commissioner, or because his dad was a good friend of him, and he keeps getting him out of trouble. He's like, I've had enough. You're gonna go in this police academy, and you cannot quit. If they kick you out, fine. But they cannot quit, because if you quit, you're going to jail. So he's like, all right, I'll do this. And he ends up finding out that he can't get kicked out. They purposely made it so he can't get out. And it's supposed to be a comedy. Michael Winslow, if you've ever seen Spaceballs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Got the bleeps, the creeps, the weeps. Oh, like that guy is known for sound effects. Now, yeah, Spaceballs was 3 years after Police Academy. He's already had a huge career. He's been in every Police Academy movie and the TV show and the animated show. But this film is mostly on Steve Guttenberg's shoulders. But, I mean, Michael Winslow definitely became a star. There's a couple other guys like Hightower and Tackleberry and Callahan and like all these classic characters like Zed. Bobcat Goldthwait came in 2 and 3 and kept going for a while with Zed. But it's just a it's kind of doesn't hold up in the sense that it's somewhat racist in some of the jokes. It's somewhat sexist in some of the jokes. And it's vulgar. Like, for example, you guys are probably too young to watch the show Punky Brewster. But as a kid, I loved that show. It was an 80s show about this little girl who loses her mom. Really sad, but then they make a funny sitcom around it. But it's a sad premise. And then this old guy takes her in as like a foster parent. And his name is George Gaines, and he was in this film as the Commandant Lassard. And he's like this, almost like a discount Leslie Nielsen. He's kind of dim-witted, very, very aloof, but he's really funny and he's really endearing. And so he's been in the series for the most part. And just a really interesting group of people that just worked in the 80s. Again, it doesn't hold up, and a lot of people make fun of Police Academy because they say they're never funny. They were never funny to begin with. I thought they're okay. Watching them, so I was telling Alex this. I watched the first one, I think it was like Tuesday, for this challenge. Ended up watching the next two within 12 more hours. So I watched two until like 3 in the morning, and then I woke up and watched the third one. I don't know why. I just wanted to see like if this track of movies actually held up. I mean, I wasn't going to really talk about 2 and 3 much, but they're okay. Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. Point is, it's just a pretty interesting franchise. I would recommend watching like maybe at least the first one. The first one's probably the better one in terms of quality. It's on Netflix, so yeah, everybody can watch it. Listening at home can easily watch it. But yeah, it's hard because you guys haven't seen the film. So I'm going to jump into my next 52 pickup, which is one hopefully you've both seen, is Office Space. Have you ever seen Office Space?
I have not.
Damn it, Ben.
Yeah, I know. I'm the worst.
I saw it a long time ago.
So did I. So it came out in 1999. It stars Ron Livingston and Jennifer Aniston and David Herman, John C. McGinley, Richard Reel. I mean, the cast is a really eclectic mix of really good people. Diedrich Bader. This movie, I watched it when it came out in 99 on VHS. And it I didn't get it. I didn't really think it was that funny. Because it was about this office place, and I never really cared. I didn't really work in an office, so I didn't really know what the hell was, why it was so funny, and why was it called Hit. Turns out, after working at MBNA, shilling credit cards to people who do not probably need credit cards, I started to understand why it was such a good classic. You know, that job really tested my moral compass to the nth degree, but I had no clue that others felt the same way. Honestly, I thought I was like kind of alone in this. Like, I hate this job and it's terrible, but this movie really showed me that everybody kind of has that feeling.
Yeah.
And in fact, the people who don't have that feeling and are chipper about their job are the weird ones.
Mm.
But years later, I watched it again after that. And it was great. It held up. It made a lot more sense to me. It's more of a biting commentary about how that kind of office style lifestyle really sucks.
That kind of sounds like Waiting to me.
It's like it's a version of Waiting. And there's Jennifer Aniston's character works at like a TGI Fridays kind of restaurant in the movie. And there's a little bit of that, how she deals with her manager and how she needs to have so many pieces of flair on her uniform. It's really shitty.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a little bit of that. I think Waiting is like, well, that idea is great. We should do with this because it, and I haven't seen Waiting for a while.
It's definitely worth a rewatch.
I remember not liking it.
Really? The first one?
Yeah.
I know there's a sequel that...
Still Waiting.
Did not really pan out that well, but...
No, I didn't like the first one. I don't know why.
I liked the first one. You know, Ryan Reynolds, Justin Long.
Yep.
Andy
Milonakis.
Dane Cook. Yeah, for no reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't even really like give him lines until around the end.
Yeah.
And he's just like, me? What did I do?
But then many more years later, I watched it after being at the job I had at the hospital, where it was like physical work. You were in a dish room. It was really hot and sweaty. But it was the hierarchy with my boss and his boss, and there was another boss, and there was like three different bosses I had to report to, and I really got what Ron Livingston's character Peter was going through. And then it, you know, after that point, I watched it again. The opening scene perfectly summarizes the entire film. So you have the three main characters. So you have Peter, you have Michael Bolton, which was a great joke about Michael Bolton, which holds up, thank God, because he came back into the spotlight with the Lonely Island guys. And then Samir. So those three guys are stuck in traffic trying to get to work. And it's how they each three of them react to that kind of situation that is really telling of their characters. Mm-hmm. But it's such a great metaphor. And I always think about this every time I'm in traffic in LA. You go in one lane trying to get ahead because you see it moving. And then that lane stops. And the lane you're in starts going ahead again. It's like, what the fuck? So you go back in that lane, and that lane stops again. It's like a back and forth. It's never ending. And it's a really great metaphor for that kind of job.
Yeah.
Like, you feel like you're going somewhere, and you're never actually advancing. And there's even a great little bit in that opening scene where this old guy in a walker is beating traffic. He's walking by, and then, like, he's long gone. It's just hilarious. It's a great fucking gag. And I must say, this is based on, like, a little animated short series in the early 90s. It was on Liquid TV, on MTV. And it was Mike Judge who created Beavis and Butthead years later.
Yeah.
And then King of the Hill, which is, like, right before this started. He started King of the Hill. And he went on to direct Idiocracy. And I don't know what he's been up to lately. Oh, yeah, I forgot. He's a creator of Silicon Valley. No big deal.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The Good Family was a show he did for one season.
It's the whole show.
That was the one he had one season with. But anyway, yeah, he's obviously doing really well for himself. He has been for decades. But, I mean, this film really holds up. And this is the film he gets quoted or referenced to. He's like, thank you so much for making this film, more than anything else he's ever done, including Beavis and Butthead.
Mm-hmm.
Which was a huge thing in the 90s, you know?
Yeah. And King of the Hill in the 2000s, and like throughout the 2000s, was pretty successful as well.
But I want to talk about, there's one quote I just have to point out. It's really telling of the whole theme behind this movie. This is him talking to his friend, Michael Bolton.
Right.
It's not just about me and my dream of doing nothing. It's about all of us. I don't know what happened to me, that hypnotherapist, and I don't know. Maybe it was just the shock and it's wearing off now. But when I saw that fat man keel over and die, Michael, we don't have a lot of time on this earth. We weren't meant to spend it this way. Human beings were not meant to sit in little cubicles staring at computer screens all day, filling out useless forms and listening to eight different bosses drone on about mission statements. And it's like true, like, that's why I came out here. And, you know, that's why I'm here now, trying to work in film. And it's a pretty powerful thing. And that's what the thing's about.
Nice.
And, like, his character gets hypnotized and the guy dies, so he never gets to break him out of it. And he's so chill the whole rest of the movie. But, it's so hard to see because as a worker, you don't have that ability to just turn that stress off.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's so cool to see what would happen if he did and how he's... He just picks up Jennifer Aniston, like, he's so confident, and like, I'm gonna go over there. If you want to come and meet me, fine.
Mm-hmm.
If not, that's cool too. And he's just so cool about it, and it just it shows, and it pays. It's a really good character moment, and it's really
that work for him.
Oh yeah, Office Space is a classic. You guys should watch it again just because it's so fucking great. Especially if you had shitty bosses or shitty managers or shitty shifts, and like you're tired of your jobs. This is the fucking movie to watch.
I feel like Jennifer Aniston's pretty tired of her work. She did this and Horrible Bosses.
And We're the Millers.
Yeah, but that was in the span of 15 years. I mean,
that's true.
This was the height of her Friends career. Yeah. Like 5 years in Friends, and she did this movie, which is really interesting. She must have done like a SAG minimum. But I think she probably believed in the script.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool.
Or she was trying to break out from TV into film.
Sure.
Lots of TV stars would do that.
She did a couple other things, and then years later, got a nomination for Cake. Years later.
Yeah. The other Dan Cook movie. I remember the name of the movie that I get it mixed up with. It's really bad. Employee of the Month.
Ah, Dan Cook.
But yeah, that's the show. I mean, I want to try to get going. Do you have anything to say, Alex?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I figured out yesterday, speaking of Comic-Con real fast, my communal movie for this week is Hollywoodland.
Oh, speaking of Ben Affleck in a superhero role.
Yeah. Have you seen that, Ben?
Hollywoodland?
Yeah.
I remember hearing about it, but I don't think I ever watched it.
Okay.
He fucks Superman's mom in that movie.
Diane. Maybe nice. In Justice League too. We'll see. We continue.
Batman's like, oh yeah, Martha, take
that
it.
That ass needs some justice.
My son's gonna be alive in any minute. He's gonna be so pissed. Where'd you hear that name?
What's his name? Who died?
George Reeves.
Thank you. Not related. Not Christopher Reeves.
Not George related Reeves. To Christopher Reeves. Yes. At all.
So it's Hollywoodland. If you don't know, is about the death of George Reeves and how it's very
the first Superman
controversial about. They say it's suicide, but it might not have been suicide, and it's never really been solved. So the other day, my dad drove me past the house where it supposedly happened.
Wow.
And he told me about this movie, and I was like, this seems pretty cool. Like, it's like a theory of what happened to him. We're going to check that out.
Cool.
We'll talk about it next week.
I'm excited.
And we're going to get it from Odyssey Video is what we're going to do.
If you can find it. They didn't have After Hours.
Yeah.
Bastards.
Only video store left in L.A. How dare they?
They should have every movie known to man.
Yeah, they should.
If you're going to be around, you got to prove it. Prove your worth.
It's 2017, man. If you're not serious, get out.
Well, this has been Not Quite Hollywood. Again, for the love of Christ, email us. NotQuitePod@gmail.com. If you want to spoil Stranger Things, go ahead. I'm going to try to watch as much of it as I can before that happens.
And if you want The Force Awakens digital copy.
Yeah, that's true. If you shit on me and ruin my enjoyment of an entertainment medium, you'll get a free movie.
Hooray!
Hooray for being a dick online. And we're also on Facebook, Not Quite Hollywood. We are on Twitter, NQH Pod. If you wanted to listen to our backlog of every episode ever, that's all 68 episodes, including today, go to guyonawire.com. We can see that and everything else I do, my cancer story, We Need Movies, many other things. And that's also my Twitter handle and Instagram handle, Guy on a Wire. Speaking of?
My Instagram is me and my blazer. I guess my Snapchat is AlexAwesome123. And you can follow my blog, Doggone Movie Reviews.
Also, for dick pics, go to Alex's Snapchat.
Yeah.
Or not.
I have a new podcast coming out in the coming weeks called The Geek Tank. Be sure to check us out on iTunes and YouTube for entertainment news and an insight to what it all means. Cool. Check me out on Stardust at the Geek Tank. I have a couple of movie reactions up already. I did Comic-Con coverage this weekend, so be sure to check that out. Check me out on Snapchat at DenBamico and Instagram at BenDamicoActor. I always post cool things, and come hang out with me in my daily life.
Do we know Dakota's stuff? Can we plug in?
You can follow Dakota at DakotaJonesFX on Instagram and follow him on Facebook at his name, Dakota Jones. And you can also follow him on Stardust at DakotaJones_FX.
I wanted to ask you, I see Dakota posting his Stardust stuff. What is that app?
Stardust is it's like a social media and me in like TV and movie review site that's like blended together. So you follow people and they follow you back, and the idea behind it is to watch as many movies and TV shows as you can and to immediately record your reaction like right after you finish watching it. So it's like a brief, like up to 1 minute video that you can record. It's a lot like Snapchat, except the videos don't go away after 24 hours.
Right.
So you post them, people can view them and like them, and then they follow you, and you follow them back. It's like, it's a lot like Instagram, but for movies and TV shows. The Schmoes do it. Mark Ellis from Collider does it. There's a lot of really big people.
Well, Mark's still doing Schmoes, isn't he?
Yeah, he's still doing Schmoes, and he's the host of Movie Talk now.
Yeah.
Mark, if you're listening, I love you. You're the best.
He was on one of the most recent episodes of Doug Loves the Movies, too. I mean, he's on there a good amount now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was he at Comic-Con? Yeah. Was he doing the...
Yeah, he was at Comic-Con. He was at D23. Kevin Smith wasn't, I don't think.
Kevin Smith was at the Screen Junkies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, IMDb, too. He does the IMDb interviews.
I saw him earlier in the week, but did not mention Comic-Con at all.
Ah.
Yeah, I was at the Chinese Theater for the... Stanley handprint ceremony.
Cool. That's so fucking cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. But I was just at Starbucks and I ran into Kevin Smith and he like totally remembered me from AMC.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, I kind of felt famous for 2 seconds. But did not ask him about Comic-Con.
You should have asked him, hey, can I be in your next movie? Because I'm an actor.
That would have been great.
See, next time, Ben.
Every time I run into somebody in the industry, I forget that I'm an actor. So it's kind of just like, yeah, I really like your stuff, and then I forget that I can also do stuff.
You can't forget, because they don't know unless you tell them.
Exactly. That's always the issue. Like, I try to market myself, but I'm only really able to do it on the internet.
Yeah.
Because I'm really horrible at talking to people in real life.
Real life. What does that even mean?
IRL.
So, until next time, this is Not Quite Hollywood. I'm Jamie.
I'm Alex.
I'm Ben. And we miss you, Dakota.
I'd say we miss you, Tim. And of course, Dakota was on the show as well. So, yeah. That's all. Have a good night.
That's all, folks.
Bye. He did it without any prompt.
That's good.